Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. O confirm the work of our hands. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, of the destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Today we are going to be joined by Lucinda Gibbs Robinson of Natural Herbal Therapy. Lucinda is a homeschool and home birth advocate and opponent of vaccines, and she is also a natural herbal therapy healing specialist. She has a website called naturalherbaltherapy.info, and you can also find her on Facebook at Lucinda Gibbs Robinson and another Facebook page called Natural Herbal Therapy. Please note, neither I nor my guest are licensed physicians or medical practitioners, nor are we suggesting that you should not seek the services of licensed practitioners. Modern medicine can have a limited but vital place in our lives. Good medical care sought out through prayer can ease suffering during a sickness and lessen symptoms and pain of injuries while speeding up recovery from broken bones, accidents, etc. However, it is our belief that true lasting healing and disease prevention can come only from the Father through His Son. If you are currently on prescription medications and under a doctor's care, we are not recommending that you quit the drugs and or your doctor's care cold turkey. Instead, we are only suggesting that you get into our Creator's Word to see what He says about healing, and then consider possible additional or alternative therapies, along with lots of prayer for guidance from our Heavenly Father as to His will for you and your healing. Good morning, Lucinda. How are you?
I'm excellent. Good morning. It's so kind of you to have me on your program. I appreciate it so much.
Well, I have really been looking forward to this interview. You and I chatted a while, a couple weeks ago, and I really enjoyed our chat and have been looking forward to our more in-depth interview today. So maybe if you could tell us briefly a little bit about yourself, and you told me that you had an awesome testimony that you would like to share as well, and how you entered into your ministry of healing.
Yes. Well, I've been a believer since I was 18 years old. Our Heavenly Father called me. There's no debate about that. I know that He called me in a very strong way to start studying His Word when I was 16 years old, and I actually committed my life to Him when I was 18. I'd always had an interest since a child in gardening and watching things grow. And later, after I became converted, He led me into the field of herbalism to find out what herbs helped our health. So I've been doing that for years. It's now I'm in my 45th year as an herbalist, and I have two books that I've written about different aspects of how to heal yourself. I'm a great believer in the scriptures, that we have to follow this package deal of instructions that He's given us, firstly in creation and then through the Torah, of how to take care of our body. And He promises if we follow this package deal of instructions, He will give us wonderful health. And I've experienced it myself through the years. He gives us many wonderful things for healing. And I use these in my counseling of people. I have a business as well as a free counseling service to those who can't afford a fee. Dealing with people, teaching them what the Torah teaches basically about health. So the testimony I have is that I've been instantaneously healed 11 times throughout my lifetime, as well as healed many times through using the natural means. And I know that his ways work if we totally depend on him. We have to have faith in his words, and then we have to move that faith into action through obedience. And when we follow that, he's ever with us and ever taking care of us. And I've had so many miracles happen in my life, in many aspects of my life, of provision and protection. And just, you know, he's taken care of everything in my life throughout the years when no man, money, or medicine could help me. And I'm very thankful for that. I'm a Torah teacher also, and I teach women about the aspects of Torah that are very particular to women. And I enjoy this so much because I've seen so many women's lives change so dramatically by their understanding what the Torah teaches.
Well, that is awesome. That is a wonderful testimony. Maybe you could tell one of the most significant times where you said that you were instantaneously healed. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
I'd be delighted. One day, I was getting ready to go out to do some shopping. I had just fixed my hair. I had a shower. I was all ready to go. But before I left, I had to clean out a garbage can outside. I cleaned out the garbage can three times, but at the very end, three spots of water hit my neck. But I thought, this garbage can is clean. There's no reason why I need to go in and wash. Well, after two or three days, I noticed those three spots had developed into sores. And I sort of ignored it. I used some things on it naturally. It really didn't affect it. And I could see it was going deeper and deeper. And then one day I realized I have MRSA. I realized I have MRSA. It's not going away. So then I tried some stronger natural things on it, and those didn't touch it. And on top of that, I touched these spots and touched a spot near my eye, and then that became infected. I realized after I had touched it, oh no, I've spread this. So the next morning I woke up, and when I woke up, I was shaking all over. And I looked at myself in the mirror and looked at my eyes and so forth. And I said to myself, you now have MRSA throughout your whole system. And I realized I did. I was feeling very weak, very sick. I got down on my knees and I prayed and I said, Heavenly Father, I have tried every natural thing I know to help myself to get rid of this infection. And I realized it's in my bloodstream at this point. And I said, there is no way I can help myself. I need your help and I need healing. And when I always pray a very desperate prayer like this, I always add to the prayer, I know you hear me and I'm looking forward to you healing me and taking care of this in the future as you have done so many other times in my life. When I finished the prayer, the shaking stopped immediately. And I got up and I looked in the mirror. And the spots on my neck and on my near my eye were literally lifting off my skin. I could see them coming off, up, off the skin. And about every 15 minutes, I'd go back and look in my mirror, and they were getting smaller and lifting off. And within about an hour and a half, the sores were completely gone.
Oh, praise Yah.
I know that was instantaneous. I mean, I experienced it, you know, I've experienced other things wonderful like that. And I have stories of other people I know. But that to me was the most dramatic because I knew that I had an infection that probably was not going to very easily go away, not with what I knew what to do anyhow. So I was so grateful for that.
Well, that's awesome. That's a perfect example of we do what we can do. And when our efforts can't do anymore, then we go to the Father. And it's actually, I think, helpful to go to the Father even first and ask, what is it that we should be doing to clear this up? And I was reading your book, Natural Herbal Therapy, and it's quite a comprehensive book. I haven't even been able to finish the whole thing yet. But you cover a variety of topics, all the way from spiritual aspects of healing, to the physical aspects, to the herbal therapies, and even parasite cleansing. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about your book and some of the therapies that you recommend.
When I wrote this book, it was after I'd been an herbalist for approximately 40 years. So I'd had quite a few experiences with some very serious diseases. I mostly help people with cancer and AIDS, but I help people with a lot of other things too. And over time, I realized that there's certain things you have to do to get back health in a physical state. The first thing that you have to do is make organic foods the very basis of your diet. That's what was in the Garden of Eden. And that's how we have to eat, because all of these applied chemicals mess up the chemical processes in your body. Also, when I wrote the book, I wanted people to have a step-by-step program so that they could take one concept, accomplish that concept, and see the effects and benefits of that concept, and then move on to another concept. So the book is set up, and you can do one step 1 week, the next step the next week, or you can do them all at once if you want to. But it gives someone a platform and a paradigm in which to think and to see success right from the very beginning. So after organic foods, we have to get rid of parasites. The book, The Cure for All Diseases by Dr. Huldah Clark, explains that our forefathers always took two parasite cleanses a year, usually in the spring and the fall, because parasites themselves can bring different diseases, bacteria, different pathogens, and so forth, as well as other parasites, into your body. So they understood that. In Europe, they still prescribe parasite medicine twice a year, like we go to the dentist twice a year to get our teeth checked. They prescribe parasite medicine twice a year. In this country, it's not done anymore. And we have that multiplying effect of going years and years without cleaning out the parasites. So all of my clients, no matter what problem they have, they take a very comprehensive parasite cleanse, the very first thing. And some of their symptoms, and sometimes all of their symptoms, are gone from that alone. What we also know is that parasites can maintain different pollutant chemicals in your body, as well as heavy metals and other viruses, bacteria, mold, and fungi. So you have to get rid of the parasites before you can get rid of any of these diseases that are highly associated with certain bacteria, certain viruses, or combinations of those different types of pathogens that can make you sick. So doing that was one of the primary reasons I wanted to write the book, was so that people were aware of this, because the practice is just not done anymore in this country.
Okay, so then basically you advocate getting to the root of the cause rather than just trying to cover up the symptoms or alleviate the symptoms of these very serious diseases. You believe that there is a very basic root cause behind them, and that's what you try to do, is fix things from the inside out and get to the very bottom of what started the problems in the first place, which these things can basically branch out to many other symptoms and diseases. Is that correct?
That's true. Most of the modern diseases we have now has a matrix of causes. It's not just one cause. For instance, if you have Hep C, hepatitis C, that's possibly caused by a parasite that harbors a virus, and the virus is maintained by a fungus. So in order to truly cleanse your body of Hep C, you've got to deal with a parasite, you've got to deal with a virus, and you have to deal with a fungus. And doctors know they can't even treat it successfully with a pill that focuses mostly on the virus. So when you understand that there's a matrix of things that can maintain a modern disease, especially, we have diseases now that didn't even exist 40, 50 years ago, because we have so many more different pollutant chemicals that enter into our body through the pesticides, herbicides, and the different pollutions that are given off by industrial waste, as well as chemtrails and the combination of all of the things that are in vaccinations, immunizations, and flu shots, plus your over-the-counter drugs, your prescribed drugs. I mean, we have a chemical soup in our body that's like a tangled mess of yarn, and you have to one by one pull out those different things in order to untangle it to get to the root of the problem. Parasites are the strongest partner in anything that you can have wrong with your body. So you have to get rid of parasites first in order to deal with the other things that may be in this tangled mess that you have. The next strongest are some of the pollutant chemicals and heavy metals. The next strongest are viruses. The next strongest are bacteria. And the next are funguses and fungi and mold. So if you sort of deal in it with it in a step-by-step manner, killing off and removing these things one by one, like untangling a ball of string and pulling out the ones that are the strongest first, the weaker partners are more easily dealt with later after you remove the stronger ones.
That's really interesting, and that makes a lot of sense. And I don't think we mentioned earlier, I know you've been doing this for 45 years, you said. What schooling do you have as well as your 45 years of experience with actual healings?
Well, I went to Cornell University in the early 70s, and I started out with a nutrition course. And it wasn't my major, it was my minor, but that got me started definitely in understanding the chemical connection to your health. And I remember one statement in that class that my professor made, where she said, if you have a deficiency in even one thing that your body needs, you will never heal completely. And that one statement stayed with me for years, because I understood that it was all chemical. Your body is a wonderful chemical process that can be affected by the spiritual, as I learned from the Bible. But you have to have the chemicals there that you need. I studied myself many, many books over the years on this subject. I had eight children, and as they were growing up, it was just my continual drive. Anything I could get my hands on, I would study. And when the internet came about, it was just wonderful, because then you could get studies from all over the world, from all of these different universities in India and Pakistan and South America, where they really do a lot more herbal studies, and they test herbs for their different chemicals and do the clinical studies than they do in the United States. So that just was just like a quantum leap, you know, in having that information available that you could never really have in your own personal library at that point. You had access to all these different things. So that helped a lot. And I, from the very beginning, my husband was a pastor in New York City for a period of time. People would come, you know, and ask for prayer for different conditions. And right away I knew, you know, it's not really prayer that they need. It's a lifestyle change. And they would not make the lifestyle change and sometimes come back and ask for prayer again for the same condition or a condition that had now worsened. And I realized, you know, we have to make these changes, and that if you do, you will see improvement. Our body is made to heal. Our body has an immune system. If you feed that immune system, you will have a great immune system. If you feed your body properly and make sure you get the plethora of nutrients that you need, your body can work perfectly. And this, you know, it took years to learn some of these things, and I added information over time. And I had some very willing subjects, because different people would come to me and say, you know, I know you're very interested in this. Could you tell me what I should do? And I would sort of make out a regimen for them to follow. And I said, I know you've got to do this, this, and this to help yourself. You can't just take one thing. And they would give me feedback, and we would discuss it. And then I started making up regimens that basically for nearly every condition that people came to me, and I kept those, and I would improve upon them throughout the years. That's when I got to the point where I wanted to write the book, because I had had enough experience helping enough people consistently that I understood what they could do to help themselves. The best experience I think that I had was the first AIDS patient that someone came to me with, and they said to me, can you help this person? And I said, you know, I've never helped anyone yet, but I've already formulated in my mind what I would do for a person if they had AIDS. So this person followed the instructions that I gave them, and they had been on six different medicines. They slept 18 hours a day, and the very first day they stayed awake all day. The second day, they went out and took a walk, which they were mostly in bed up to that point. And the third day, they went out and chopped wood, and it absolutely astounded the person that was assisting them. And I said, well, you've got to awaken the body again. You've got to awaken the immune system. And the things that I gave them did that and was clearing out all of the drugs they had taken previously. And since then, I've helped many, many people become virus undetectable for AIDS, which is the closest doctors will say is cured. And they are still alive, and they're still, you know, contacting me from time to time. So I know they're doing well.
That is awesome. And so you are a licensed practitioner in your state. Can you tell us a little bit about what state are you in, and what licensing do they require?
In North Carolina, to be an herbalist, you don't have to be licensed. But what you do have to do to comply with state law is you have to have a doctor's diagnosis in your office before you can dispense any information. And the regulation they have is you, as an herbalist, you cannot diagnose. So a person who comes to me for help, I don't dispense information to them until I have that doctor's diagnosis in my office. And then I can work off the diagnosis with the things that I know help that particular condition.
Okay. And what about folks that don't desire to go to a regular doctor for a diagnosis, but they would like information on possibly a parasite cleanse or something specific like that? Can you help them, or do they have to go and get a doctor's diagnosis? Because I, for one, don't believe in necessarily going to get a diagnosis, because in my opinion, that is someone speaking who is not necessarily a believer, maybe speaking something evil over you and saying, you have this, and I don't believe I have anything. And so I would prefer to treat my own symptoms and just go to the root of everything, the root of health, and build it up from the bottom up, rather than go and have somebody say, you have this, when maybe I don't really have anything. I just need to really build my health back up.
Well, I think if they would read my book, that would help them, because as I said, I go step by step and show you how to totally rebuild your health by showing you the things that build health and explaining what causes sickness and what causes health. So you can eliminate the things that cause sickness, at the same time add into your regimen the things that cause health. And that's very interesting, because that's what I would call a wellness chat with someone. They want to know, just how can I build my health up so that I don't get cancer, or that I don't have health problems, or I don't get osteoporosis as I get older, and so forth. The book really addresses that. And the book is sort of like me giving someone a 4-hour lecture in how to totally turn their health around permanently. And that's what we all need to know. We need to get back to these principles that have been known for years, that people used to use, that, you know, proved to be just so important and vital in returning our health to us.
That's great. And so then if somebody did read your book, but they had some questions and maybe wanted to consult with you a little bit on some clarifications and things, would you offer that service as well?
Yes, I have calls from people all the time on that exact thing.
Okay, great. And they can also contact you, I assume, on your Facebook page as well, and just get the details of how that you could go about consulting with them. Also, let's go back to your book. Let's see. Your book contains a lot of information on essential oils and different oils and what they can do to help people. Is that correct?
Yes, I give the basis for that. Essential oils are the strongest medicines that our Heavenly Father has given us. They have the concentrated chemicals that make changes in your body. The aromatic oils, which are the ones that you can smell as soon as you open the bottle, are constantly giving off atoms of their fragrances and of their oils, and they can move. And those are the ones that you can put on your skin, and they will move through your skin. Your skin actually is just layers of flakes. And the oils can go down through those layers of flakes into your tissues, your organs, and your circulatory system, and start working nearly immediately. They're very powerful medicine. I have so many stories about healings and helps through using the essential oils. The scripture talks about essential oils over 1,000 times. Few people realize that. The book Healing Oils of the Bible by Dr. David Stewart is just a wonderful beginning study in how the essential oils work and how they were used in the scriptures. And it's a whole ministry in itself, knowing how to use the oils. They're wonderful. The herbs also have essential oils in them, but the dried herbs don't have the amount of essential oils in them that the actual oils do. And the oils are separated into different chemical groups that do different things. So to learn a little bit about them, there's a book called The Essential Life put out by the doTERRA company. I'm not a proponent of any specific essential oil company, but this book happens to be excellent because it shows you how each oil can be used. And it, to me, it's the primer that someone could use to have the basic information and how to use the different oils. It's excellent. And what we don't realize is our Heavenly Father has given us everything in this sort of terrarium of a universe we live in. And He's left these oils and the herbs and the juices of plants that we make into fresh juices. All of these things heal very, very quickly if used in the right way. And the essential oils are the fastest acting as well as the strongest ones.
Okay. Well, and I have had some, I use essential oils, and I actually had a mole that I it was kind of questionable. It was growing and everything, and I put frankincense on it. And within a couple weeks, the mole had completely disappeared. And it's still gone. And so I'm definitely sold on frankincense for things like that and scar tissue and those kinds of things. I have also had a negative experience with essential oils in that I was diffusing some tea tree oil, which is also called melaleuca, in the same room with my son's bird. And it was a little parakeet and it dropped dead. And later, after some research, I found out that tea tree oil can kill a bird. And so definitely people do want to do some research on these things before they use them because they're quite potent. And so you definitely, especially if you want to use them on your children or around pets, I highly recommend doing some research on them and becoming very well informed before you just start going ahead and using them. And so if somebody wanted to, could they consult with you on that as well?
Yes. When you're dealing with children, children are still developing different systems in their body, and they're not as strong to resist things as adults are, who have very completed systems. So you have to use a lot less of any natural medicine with a small child than you do an adult. So it's good to start out very small, using only a drop of something, of your oils, when you're dealing especially with a child. And you can work up to more over time, but you want to be very careful because children's skin is much more tender than adult skin that's weathered and has more older layers on top of their skin and so forth. You just have to be careful. You have to be judicial about how you use them. You're absolutely right.
We've talked a lot about the physical reasons behind illness, and we'll talk about more later, including foods. We'll go into that in more depth later. But let's talk about the spiritual aspects or spiritual attacks that a person can receive as well for different things that maybe are talked about in the Bible, such as the evil tongue. We know Miriam got leprosy because she was speaking against Moses. So that's something that's warned against. Do you have any advice as far as the spiritual aspects of healing?
Yes. If you read straight through the Bible, you get a very expanded view of how our Heavenly Father has provided for us. We don't know how He communicated firstly with Adam and Eve, but we know either they came pre-programmed with information about our Heavenly Father, or He literally walked and talked with them and instructed them on everything they needed to know to live in this environment that He put them in. As we get to the Torah is something that is so marvelous. The book of Deuteronomy sort of condenses everything. And He shows us that there's this package deal of instructions that the people agreed to keep. And He says if they agreed to keep these things, He would put none of the diseases of the people of Egypt and outside of the camp of the Israelites on them. So we have to understand that we, because we have eyes, we only see the physical. He allows us every once in a while to see the spiritual through some miraculous ways. Now, He sees the spiritual and the physical the same. in the scriptures, we're sometimes told to do physical things to get spiritual blessings. And we're sometimes told to do spiritual things to get physical blessings. We separate it because we have eyes that cannot see the spiritual world. But in his eyes, he sees it all the same because it's all part of his creation. So when he tells us to do something, or to either to do something and add it to our life, or to eliminate something from our life, it's because he sees the consequences that are coming, because he's created all of these different laws from chemistry, physics, hydrology, and the spiritual laws that he's told us about, how we think, how we act, and so forth. He looks at all these laws exactly the same. You can't transgress any of them without some type of consequences. So that's the number one thing I tell people about the spiritual and the physical. Just because we have eyes that can't see the spiritual, we have to still pay attention to everything he says, because he wants us to walk in that fullness of his instruction. Now, the book of Deuteronomy in Deuteronomy 27 through 30 says, shows us very clearly that there are blessings and cursings. We can choose which we want. In other words, what we do today determines what's going to happen to us in our future, because how we attune ourselves or reject his instructions is what we're going to have in the future. If we disobey, we're going to have cursing. If we obey, we're going to have blessing. So that's number one. Number two, in this spiritual world, there are demons. And he explains this to us in scripture. Some people choose not to believe it. I know it's real. I've seen demons cast out of people. I've seen demons myself. I know they're real. I know people that have been controlled by demons. And they themselves even admit, I didn't want to say that. That didn't come from my mind. That was something outside of me. So we have to know that these demons can do many different things to us, and we shouldn't be afraid of them. We should confront them. And you can confront them with power if you're walking in the instructions of your Heavenly Father. Now, the devil can bring any disease upon you that man knows of in a mockery, or in a mimicry, I should say, really, of a physical condition. And it can be cast out in the name of our Savior and in the name of the great Creator. He's given us this power if we're walking in obedience. But we have to be able to recognize that sometimes the things that are happening to us are not just physical. They can be an outside force trying to impose their will on us. And we have this resistance power through the power of the Holy Spirit to pray, fast, and vocally rebuke them. And it's real, and it happens. And it's actually, I think it's manifesting itself more in our society now because of several things, because truth is being suppressed and biblical power is not being preached like it used to be preached.
I agree. And I think there's a huge misunderstanding as to where this power comes from and who the promises are made to. We have to go back to the beginning to figure out what the promises are. And then we have to go to the end and see Yeshua as to why these promises even apply to us today. From the very beginning, as soon as the Israelites left Egypt, the first thing they were told to do after passing through the Red Sea, which is a picture of baptism, was to honor the Sabbath. And in Exodus 15:26, he said, "If you diligently obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim and do what is right in his eyes and shall listen to his commands and shall guard all his laws, I shall bring on you none of the diseases I brought upon the Egyptians." I think you referred to that scripture earlier. He says, "For I am Yahweh who heals you." Now, these promises were made to the Israelites. And then he went on right after that in chapter 16 to give them manna. And he used the manna to test them to see whether they would obey the Sabbath or not. So anybody that has any question about that, go and read Deuteronomy 16. It's quite interesting how he tested them. But then we have to realize that we are grafted into all of these promises, as Paul tells us in Romans 11. And that's how we come into these promises, is through Yeshua, because we join his family. It's not because it's something new. It's because we join his family. But along with these promises of healing also come the curses that you were talking about in Deuteronomy, I believe 28 and 29 go into those in depth of what the curses, which I think are really chastisements, can be for disobeying his covenant. And so I think that we really need to get to the root of why there is so much sickness in the church, because we have rejected his covenant, or we aren't completely obeying it. And obviously we can't absolutely be perfect and obey everything. And that's where Yeshua comes in. We pray, we go to him, we lay it at his feet. We do our best to do what he tells us to do in his word and what he shows us in the spirit. And then we leave the rest to him without worry.
That's true. You know, our first parents, Adam and Eve, the thing that separated them from the blessings that they were promised was their disobedience. And that follows all through the Bible. You know, the basics of the whole Bible is it's stories of those who obeyed and those who disobeyed. And it goes up to the point where now we have a point to be reconciled by our Savior. I mean, his death did so much for us, but one of the things, it gave us a chance to renew our Adamic nature, where we can feel pure and clean again and start over again, no matter how old you are. You have this pure and clean conscience to go ahead and start obeying our Heavenly Father once again and to make all of those corrections and receive all the blessings. When you think about all the blessings of the Old Testament, anyone who's a believer, they want to claim all of these different blessings and promises of the Old Testament. All of those blessings were connected to hearing the instructions of our Heavenly Father. And hearing in Hebrew means not only hearing through the ear, it means internalizing it to the point of obeying. So that's what we have to do. I mean, a lot of people miss that. And then they wonder why they're not having the answers to prayer and the blessings and the promotion that they want in life and so forth. It's because our Heavenly Father has stipulations. It's an, if you do this, I will do that. One of the biggest ifs is you have to accept that my son died for your sins. But there's a if after that, too, as far as you need to obey, and then I will hear your prayer and I will take control of your life for you and help you in everything that you do. We have this great, great, wonderful opportunity, I think, when he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're told that we can be translated into the kingdom of his dear son in this life. And I think it's sort of like there's a railroad track in life. And there's one side of the railroad track and the other side of the railroad track. And you decide which side of the tracks you're going to live on by how you respond to his word. One side is blessing, one side is cursing. And you can live in blessing for your whole life if you put yourself in the way of his instructions. But if you cross over to that other side and disobey, you're going to start experiencing the cursings. Or as you said, it's like punishments, basically, is what it is. And you don't want those punishments. You want to live a free, clear, happy, blessed life. This goes into every aspect of your life, not just your health life, because it goes into your financial life. It goes into your thought processes. It goes into your vocation that you choose. It goes into every single stream of your life. And when I teach women about the Torah, I said, you don't realize he tells you there's life in his words. And that life to him is the blessed life, the life that's the best form of living and the highest you can attain in this life. And that's what he wants to us, not only, as I said, in your health life, but in every area of your life. He promises this. And it's just such a wonderful prospect and thought that he would enter in like this and want to help us in everything we do.
Absolutely, and absolutely. And, you know, being brought up in the Baptist church, you know, you're told a lot of doctrine of basically once saved, always saved, which to an extent is very true unless you turn away, but unless you turn away completely and reject him. But as far as healing goes, the church doesn't realize, they miss the scriptures that are actually in the New Testament, where Yeshua himself tells us to sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon us. John 5:14, after he healed someone, he said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. And in John 8:11, Yeshua said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And I believe that was with the woman caught in adultery. And so he is often telling people not to sin anymore, and lest a worse thing come upon him. And in one instance, he says that basically it's the same thing to tell the person to get up and walk as it is to tell him that his sins are forgiven, which leads you to understand that the man's sins needed to be forgiven before he could get up and walk. And then in Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. So all throughout the New Testament, we are told not to sin anymore, but the church kind of passes right over that and misses the whole thing. And I think that's why there is so much, one of the reasons there's so much sickness among believers today, because we miss the part that it's an if-then aspect, like you were saying.
You're so right. If you look at the typical American right now, we expect the typical American to live a life and to have intermittent sickness, to get on more and more drugs as they age, and for their health to decline in steps over time, to get worse and worse and worse. To me, that's somewhat a fulfillment of the two scriptures that you read, you know, that a worse thing is going to come upon you, because people tend to get sicker, weaker, and on more drugs. In the scripture, we're not told anything like that. We're told Moses lived and he had the fullness of all of his faculties until he died. You know, I think we need to look forward to more things like this, where we can, if we do get ill, or we are confronted with something that makes our body weak, that we can take things that will bring us back up to the level of where we were before we got sick. And that's really what healing should be. Healing should be bringing you back up to the fullness of health you had previous to that. We're deceived to a certain degree to look at even, you know, how aging should be. It doesn't mean that you won't decline a little bit in your eyesight, or you won't be as strong as you once were, or that your skin is going to age and so forth. But we should be able to really recover each time that we're confronted with something. Also, we have to realize right now, I'm a big advocate against vaccinations, immunizations, flu shots, prescription drugs, over-the-counter drugs, because all of these enter your system and can remain in your system for a very long time, causing chronic problems. If you start using natural things, the effects of a lot of these things can be pulled out of your system, and you can recover your health that of problems that have been critical and chronic for a long time, because these chemicals get in there and basically logjam the chemical processes that are supposed to go on in your body. It's a very vital thing that you can be deceived by using the wrong medicine, or things that you think are medicine that really aren't medicine, but they're only pulling your health down further. And that, you know, that's part of the deception of this world. The Bible says the devil has deceived the whole world, and I believe he's deceived the normal, carnal, natural man in everything. And it's only when you seek scripture and seek truth and seek to know the truth through prayer and fasting and asking the Heavenly Father to reveal everything you need to know, that you will be able to see through these things and see what you really have to do to gain back your physical and spiritual health.
Absolutely. And that brings me to the advertising and the things that we're bombarded with every day. We don't have regular TV, but occasionally we have to travel for work and we stay in a motel, and so we'll turn the TV on just to see what kind of garbage is on there today. But the majority of commercials that come on are, if you have this symptom, if you have that symptom, ask your doctor about this, ask your doctor about that. And they're just really pushing the pharmaceutical drugs today and putting, they're speaking, I believe words have a lot of power, and they're speaking into your life these sicknesses and the possibility of these diseases. You know, if you're getting older, you might want to try this and all of that. And so it's definitely a spiritual warfare, and we have to be in the Word, in our Father's Word, understanding what He says about sickness and what He says about healing. And like you said, go to Him in prayer, and He will give us wisdom on what we should do for certain issues that we may be having or we may experience or our family members may experience. But we do need to be careful of who we let speak into our lives and who we listen to, because even if we're not really thinking that they're speaking to us, it goes in and it can stay there and cause us to doubt our healing and our health.
True. I'd like to address symptoms. Our Heavenly Father has made our body so that our body talks to us to a certain degree. When we're super thirsty, that's a symptom. We need to get more water. When we're tired, we know that's a symptom. We need sleep. When we have certain nutritional symptoms, for instance, if you have dandruff, you probably have a vitamin B6 deficiency. That means I have dandruff, but I need to eat more foods that have vitamin B6 and my dandruff will go away. Your body's talking to you. Your eyes can tell you different things. There's a whole study called iridology that basically most of the symptoms in your body are revealed through your eyes, different aberrations in your eyes. And when you put the nutritional things back into your body, your eye symptoms go away. Your fingernails can show you different things. So your body talks to you, and it can be real. It means that you're not eating enough of a certain thing that your body needs. So those type of symptoms are actually good. And it's a gift from our Heavenly Father that He reveals to us these symptoms without our being able to look inside our body. He gives us some of these outward signs that we can tell we are not eating enough of a food that He's graciously given to us that would supply the need in order to take care of this symptom. So that's a natural way to deal with some of the symptoms, with the things that He's left here, the tools that He's left here for us to use to eradicate some of our symptoms. That's separated from spiritual symptoms, that when you're attacked by an outside force, that's a completely different set of symptoms. But many of your symptoms you can take care of nutritionally if you know how to read what your body's telling you.
Yes, thank you very much for that clarification. That is a very good point. Yes, it's just going to a doctor, per se, and getting a diagnosis as you've got 3 months to live. Those kind of diagnoses are very bad, in my opinion, because when they should just be telling you what you have, or not what you have even, that's the wrong wording, what your body is lacking, like you said, what your body is experiencing, and go to the natural way to help your body overcome this, rather than saying, this is your diagnosis, you have X number of days to live, you better go and get all these drugs and chemicals and things like that to fix it. So I think the way that you go at healing and the way that modern medicine goes at healing are two very different ways. You're working with our Father's creation, and they are basically pronouncing things over someone that may not necessarily be true, and that's where the spiritual aspect comes in, I think.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We have this avenue to go to Him. He says, if any man lacks wisdom, he can come to Him and He will give him wisdom. And sometimes we don't know what to do. But the doctors want you to panic when you get any type of diagnosis. And that's exactly the opposite of what our Heavenly Father says. He says, come to me, call upon me, I will answer you. We need to calmly go to our Heavenly Father when we're told anything like this and ask Him, what should I do and what I can't do? Will you please undertake for me and help me? It's a very interesting thing that you said about when a doctor says, oh, you've got 3 months to live. To me, when a doctor says that, he's putting himself into a prophetic office. And to me, that's a false prophetic office, because no man knows how long you have left to live. Only our Heavenly Father knows. And mostly they say that to put people in panic mode so that they'll take the treatments that they want to prescribe to you. I've had many clients come to me. Two that I had with heart conditions where their arteries were 96% blocked and 94% blocked. One doctor said to one of them, you have 2 days to live. Another said, you have about a week to live. And both of those men went home and followed the instructions I told them, the main one being go on a completely vegan diet for 1 year. And they did, and both of them completely cleared out their arteries to the amazement of their doctors. And they lived many, many more years. I'm not even sure if one of them's alive or not now, but he was elderly when this happened to him. So to say that is just absolutely erroneous. And you know, as I said, you decide who you're going to put in the prophetic office over you when you if you believe that they say you only have this much to live. There's ways you can turn almost anything around by correcting your ways and following the instructions of our Heavenly Father. Many of your listeners may know of George Malcolmus, who has Hallelujah Acres. He turned his own health around in a year or two. The things that I teach people, teach them how to turn their health around in a month or two, because he told people to go on a vegan diet, basically. But couple a vegan diet with some very strong chemicals and essential oils, herbs, your different clays, your different types of salts, your probiotics, and all of these different natural things that we have at our disposal, and using them together in a program turns things around very rapidly, much more rapidly than a year, because some people really, their bodies are so worn out, they may only have a few months left to live with the resources that they have in their physical body. But if you add in all of these things, yes, you can turn something around, get stronger, get healthier, and live many more years. And that's, you know, that's the recovery our Heavenly Father wants us to have.
Yes, and I think that we have three very good examples in the Bible, and I believe they're put there on purpose, of three different kings that had three different processes they went through when they got sick. King Asa, he sought the physicians, and he died. The king of Samaria sought the god of Ekron for a prognosis or diagnosis as to how long, you know, if whether or not he would recover. And his messenger that went to the god of Ekron was intercepted by Elisha, I believe. It was either Elisha or Elijah. I think it was Elijah who was told, who told this messenger from the king of Samaria, is there not a god in Israel that you go and seek the god of Ekron for your healing? He says, go back and tell the king of Samaria that he's not going to come out of his bed. He's going to die. But then we have King Hezekiah. As soon as Isaiah, who was actually a prophet of God, came in and told him to get his house in order, he was going to die. King Hezekiah immediately turned to the wall and prayed to our Father and said, and reminded our Father that he had been a faithful servant, and cried out to him. And before Isaiah even left the courtyard, Abba was telling him to go back and tell King Hezekiah that he was going to live, he was going to heal, he had heard his prayers. And so those are three different stories of how these kings went about seeking their healing. One physicians, one a different god, which arguably could be the medical system today, which, you know, even their emblem is the serpent on the pole, which Israel began worshiping, and King Hezekiah, as a matter of fact, tore that serpent on a pole down that was originally came from, you know, Moses, but they started worshiping it. He tore it down and destroyed it. And then King Hezekiah, who sought Yahweh for wisdom and for healing, and he was the only one that was actually healed. So I think we have some very good examples in the Bible of what we should do when we're not quite well.
Yes, it's never a waste of time to go to our Heavenly Father. He's there. He's real. He's compassionate. He cares. He's concerned. And he wants the best for us. He wants us to have the best possible outcome in everything in our life. And if we go to him, he will show us. Sometimes we have to be patient and wait on him to give the answer. But he will give the answer if we're seeking him really in spirit and in truth. He will. It's a wonderful thing. I'd like to address something, if I might, that we haven't talked about the essential oils. When our Heavenly Father created everything in the universe, he spoke it into existence. And we know that speaking has vibrational quality. And scientists have discovered over time that every living thing that can grow and reproduce gives off its own vibration. It would be like they're each giving off a different note in the scale. It's not exactly like that, but that's a comparison of it. On the electromagnetic scale, we know that there's all these different vibrations, and these different vibrations do different things and affect us in different ways. Well, anything that you take into your body, if you want life to come into your body, should have vibrational qualities to it. That's why raw fruits and vegetables, are very good for you because they have the living force in them. Once you cook them, the vibrational qualities stop. Now, you can get minerals and vitamins and different things out of cooked food, but you won't get the vibrational qualities. The thing that's so marvelous about using anything in its raw or dried form, where there's still some vibrational qualities, is that it can heal. We know there's something, there's a life force that has to enter damaged cells.